And with the ringing of that bell, we know it's time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School. And we're studying about Christian living, and particularly in this Sunday school lesson, about making our homes Christian. This is a Sunday school lesson E.A. Elam prepared for the Sunday schools of February the 13th, 1927. And we're going to be reading Elam's Helps and Hints for the Teachers for this lesson in just a moment. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have a Sunday school at 9:30 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's see what E.A. Elam prepared for those families and those homes back in 1927. Here is what he wrote. God created man, and for man he created woman as a help suited to him. God ordained the family, and to destroy the family and its influence is to destroy God's order and man's happiness. As this lesson shows, the obligations of man, the husband and father, are just as great as those of wife and mother. When it comes to the Christian home, these obligations cannot be broken without sin and its consequences. Home building is one of the greatest works people can engage in, and Christian homes are the next places to heaven. The influences of schools and businesses are not conducive to home building. That is, not during this present age. God, in His great wisdom and goodness, knows what is best for men and women, for parents and children. And the Bible is our only guide. Following the Bible will keep sin out of our homes and make them prosperous, Christian, and happy. Beginning in verse 22 of chapter 5 of Ephesians and continuing through verse 9 of chapter 6, Paul teaches and exhorts concerning family relationships and duties. Wives are taught to be in subjection to their own husbands as unto the Lord. The reason for this command is, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is also the head of the church, being himself the Savior of the body. But very few in church even treat this relationship today with proper seriousness. On the contrary, most people make a joke of it, not realizing its great significance, reaching from the formation of Eve from Adam's open side to the church, the Lamb's bride, for whose cleansing and salvation Christ gave himself up. It is a fearful thing to trifle with the work and will of God. We read that bearing and rearing children and ruling the household and homekeeping are embraced in woman's mission and sphere. Yet by expression, she shall be saved through childbearing in 1 Timothy 2, verse 15, is meant, appears to me, that she, the woman, and all her daughters as well as men, can be saved through the child she bore, the seed of woman, who bruised the serpent's head to destroy Satan. God sent forth his son, born of woman, in order to redeem mankind. The expression, if they continue in faith and love and sanctification with sobriety, shows that women cannot be saved through what woman has done in becoming the mother of the Savior without faith in Christ and obedience to God. Faith, in the full meaning of faith, love, in the true meaning of love, sanctification, in the scriptural meaning of sanctification, and sobriety, in its true meaning, are strong expressions and express much. All should be impressed with the truth that salvation depends on these. How then can frivolous, foolish, worldly women fond of finery and admiration, even if they do claim membership in the church and engage in some of the public activities, how do they expect to be saved? The life which God directs women to live, adorned in modest apparel, and modesty in general, with sobriety, with a meek and quiet spirit, with good works, and not with costly, extravagant, immodest, or even indecent dress, receives but little attention and less study and practice. At present, either teachers and preachers, as of a rule, have not studied this subject and are not incompetent and are incompetent to teach it, or knowing the teaching of the Bible in regard to it, they are afraid of it and hesitate to teach and preach the clear will of God concerning it. These hints and helps on the duties of wives and mothers have been given as briefly as possible, and the lesson should embrace them. But now let's go to the duties of the husbands. We read in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it." The duties of husbands to their wives is none the less binding and beautiful and happy than those of wives to their husbands. As Christ is the head of the church, a ruler over it, so the husband is the head of the wife and ruler over his family. Paul says a bishop must be one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity, 1 Timothy 3:4. But the rule of husbands over their wives must spring from love for them. They must seek the protection, comfort, and greatest good of their wives, both temporarily and spiritually, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for it. Husbands cannot be tyrannical or in any way cruel or harsh. They must manifest the tenderest regard and most unselfish love for their wives. They must be as true and faithful to their wives as Christ, as a husband is to the church, are to true and devoted to their wives as they expect their wives to be to them. Peter, in 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, states this as follows, "Ye husbands, in like manner, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor to the woman, as unto the weaker vessel, as being also joint heirs of the grace of life, to the end that your prayers be not hindered." Husbands are to dwell with their wives according to the teachings and purity of Christianity. They're to furnish their wives with the necessities, comforts, and maintenance of life so far as is in their power, thus giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. This is the way men honor their wives. For women to have to make a living for their husbands is a reversal of God's order of things and a dishonor to women. The home, with its blessed ministries, is woman's sphere and work. She is physically the weaker vessel and should be protected as much as possible from the hardships and heavier burdens of life. But she is not inferior to man, and she and her husband are joint heirs of the grace of life. Husbands hinder their prayers when they do not dwell thus in purity and helpfulness and love with their wives. It talks about how Christ cleansed the church. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 26 and 27 says that he, that is Christ, might sanctify it, that's the church, that Christ might sanctify the church, having cleansed it by the washing of water with the word, that he might present the church to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Christ gave himself up for the church, died for it. Purchased it with his own blood, Acts 20:28. He shed his blood for many unto the remission of sins, Matthew 26:28. His blood cleanseth from all sin, 1 John 1 and verse 7. Without this blood there is no remission, Hebrews 9:22. The blood of Christ reaches through faith to him as the Son of God and Savior of the world, repentance of all sin, and baptism into his name. Hence it is said, Christ cleansed the church by the washing of water with the word. Jesus says to his disciples, already are you clean because of the word which I have spoken unto you, John 15 and verse 3. And Peter in 1 Peter 1:22 says, saying, ye have purified your souls in obedience to the truth unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Love one another from the heart fervently. The truth which they obeyed in purifying their souls, the word by which they were cleansed, if that's what they did unto the remission of sins, which has been quoted and cited above, by faith in Christ, through repentance, Paul was baptized and washed away his sins, calling on his name. Hence he speaks of the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which washings must refer to baptism in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, referring to the flood. Peter in 1 Peter 3:20 and 21 says, eight souls were saved through water, which also after a true likeness doth now save you, even baptism, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the interrogation of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism is the true likeness or antitype of that great flood. As eight souls were saved through water of the flood by faith in God, so through faith in Christ, in their penitence, by obedience to God in baptism, people are now saved, are cleansed from sin. By continued obedience to God, they are sanctified by his word, the truth. John 17:17. Adam Clark says, by the word, the doctrine of Christ crucified, through which baptism is administered, sin canceled, and the soul purified from all unrighteousness, the death of Christ giving efficacy to all. The church is represented as a pure, chaste virgin espoused to one husband, that is to Christ. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 2, the washing and cleansing and sanctifying of the church no doubt refers to the purification of the women who were to be married to kings. This preparation is mentioned in several places in the Bible, so the church must be cleansed and purified and sanctified, that it may be presented to Christ, a glorious church. Brides are spoken of as making themselves beautiful with rich and splendid garments and brilliant jewels. But the Lamb's bride must make herself ready by properly cleansing and purifying herself and arraying herself in fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints, Revelation 19 and verse 8. These righteous acts must be performed in service of God in this life. Now is the time to cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God is the same as being sanctified, keeping unspotted from the world, coming out from among unbelievers in iniquity and darkness, and separated unto God. How can professed church members with spots and wrinkles and blemishes and unrighteousness of sin on their souls claim to be presented to the Lord?